New tougher border restrictions are expected to slash the number of potential COVID positive cases from India alone by 75%. The government's classified it as a very high risk country, along with Pakistan, PNG and Brazil, based on the number of people with COVID arriving in New Zealand from each of the hotspots. The new classification means only New Zealand citizens, their partners, children and parents of children who are New Zealand citizens will be able to travel directly from very high-risk countries to Aotearoa. Anyone else, including permanent residents, must have been outside the newly classified countries for at least 14 days before travelling to New Zealand. The new category comes into force at 11:59pm April 28th, and other countries will be added to the list if their rate of COVID cases is more than 50 per 1,000 returnees. Now, the government's also changing the way MIQ operates by grouping returnees. Travellers arriving in New Zealand within a 96-hour window will go to the same hotel until that hotel fills up or the clock runs down on the 96 hours. The hotel is then locked down, no more new guests, until the very last person in that cohort finishes their isolation. COVID Response Minister Chris Hipkins says the grouping are based on time of arrival, not country of origin or flight.
It'll reflect the planes that they've come in on. So basically the idea is that you start with an empty facility. Over 92 hours you have plane loads of people all being transported to the same facility. Either at the end of the 96 hours or once the facility is full, that gets effectively locked down for a two-week period. We have to recognise that the country of origin isn't necessarily the best and only marker of risk for this particular purpose, because people are often interacting in transit and on the plane on the way to New Zealand.
But to be clear, you could have people arriving from India going into the same hotel as people arriving from the UK, even though those countries have different classifications.
We would certainly be trying to make sure that very high risk and high risk as much as practical are being kept separate, but bearing in mind that those coming from very high-risk countries will be arriving on the same plane as people coming from high-risk countries. So to some extent, that's beyond our control.
Not always, though. So there is an element of mixing and matching in your cohort in terms of the risk classification of the countries.
Well, if you look at where the majority of our very high-risk country passengers are coming at the moment. They're coming through the United Arab Emirates on a particular flight. That flight also has people from Europe and from all around the rest of the world as well.
So in terms of people who are not New Zealand citizens, who have rights to reside here in New Zealand, is it your expectation that they will have to exit a high-risk country, pay for 2 weeks' accommodation somewhere else, and then you'll allow them into New Zealand?
That's right. So we haven't said we have to provide a pathway for New Zealanders to come back. we've always been very clear, other than where there's a very short-term reason to put a restriction in place, we would not restrict the right of New Zealanders to return home. A permanent resident, of course, has somewhere else that is their, you know, where they are a citizen. But if they do wish to come back to New Zealand, then they can do that, but they have to spend 2 weeks somewhere else first.
How many people are in that category, as far as you know?
As I indicated before, in terms of the overall arrivals from India, which is the largest group affected by this at the moment, around 75% of the overall number coming in would be affected, of our positive cases would be affected by this. So it would be a reasonably significant number of people. We've been receiving...
Sorry, Minister, just to clarify that, are you saying 75% of the people who would have been coming in on planes from India can now no longer come?
Sorry, that's positive cases that we're reducing there. In terms of the numbers, I think we've been receiving from India around 450 a month, roughly, coming in from India. So it's possible that a reasonable proportion of those were permanent residents and so on. So we are talking about hundreds of people that could be affected by this.
You've previously said some of our MIQs are not up to very high-risk arrivals. So which ones are suitable for your cohorting?
Look, the vast majority of them are. What we are looking...
OK, so tell me the ones that aren't then, if that's the shorter list.
Look, there's negotiations going on with those particular facilities, and so I don't want to...
Why not? It's a matter of public interest. If you're a returnee, it's luck of the draw whether you get a good hotel that is fitted out with the best equipment, the best ventilation system, you know, some hotels have higher risks. So tell us the ones that you don't think are up to very high-risk returnees.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that today. Ultimately, there are some who would cope with a higher concentration of higher-risk returnees better than others. And there's a variety of factors, including, you know, how much physical space they have in them, the ventilation systems that are within them, the transport arrangements to and from them, the arrangements around exercise areas and so on. But I'm not going to release all of that today while we're in negotiations with those hotels.
When will you release it?
Look, once we've confirmed what that's going to look like, you know, once we've got contracts, once we've determined whether any of those facilities are going to be repurposed or released from the system, then we'd certainly...
But what is your timeframe to do that, Minister?
Look, it's happening at the moment.
But you say you've got a legal responsibility for returnees, right? So bearing that legal responsibility in mind, wouldn't the lowest risk option be to cohort people according to the flights that they came in on?
Well, that's exactly what we're doing. So that they will...
But not entirely. You're mixing
arrivals
from
different flights. There could be several flights in one facility.
That's
correct. One of the challenges that we have at the moment is, you know, in an ideal world, we would have the same number of people, same number of flights, same number of people arriving each day, every day, over a period of time, and you could manage cohorts much more easily. The reality is that the number of arrivals from red zone countries can vary hugely from a couple of dozen in a day to a couple of hundred in a day, and so we have to have a system that allows for that.
If the UAE flight is one of the highest risk flights, as you have identified, why not put a cap on the number of flights you will accept from that on that particular route?
It's not so much about the number of flights, it's about the number of people, and bearing in mind that a high concentration of the risk on that particular flight has been people who have been coming from India. If we were to simply reduce the number of flights from the UAE, then those people could potentially be transiting through a different country instead, and it wouldn't necessarily reduce
You'd limit
the
their options,
risk.
Though, wouldn't you? And likely that would limit
We're already
number.
Limiting the options significantly through the travel restriction that I've just announced.
So what legal advice have you had about your obligations, your legal obligations to permanent residents who are sort of being rerouted through other countries if they want to come back here?
So ultimately we must, under international conventions, allow citizens to return to New Zealand so we don't create people who are stateless. As I've indicated before, if someone is a resident or even a permanent resident, then they have another country of citizenship.
What consideration have you given to the fact that you may be putting their lives at risk?
We absolutely acknowledge that for those who are in a country where COVID-19 is spreading rapidly, there are a lot of people who would far rather be somewhere else in the world at the moment.
And they do have the right to come here. They have the paperwork.
I acknowledge that this is a difficult decision for them.
And that was COVID response minister Chris Hipkins there.